WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks. House Republicans are still rallying support for their latest speaker candidate. CBS's Nicole Killian's on Capitol Hill.
Tom Emmer is now the speaker designate. As you know, on the House floor, he's going to need that 217 magic number to be able to get the gavel. So it's really important that they have a true sense of that before going to the floor.
Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
This standoff unequivocally jeopardizes money for Ukraine, Israel, and a government shutdown in less than a month for as long as it persists.
Israel is reportedly ready for the next stage of its war against Hamas. CBS Morning's co-host Tony DeCoppel is there, and he talked to chief Israeli military spokesman Daniel Hagari.
When these pictures every day show up on people's phones and TVs of women and children in the rubble, that doesn't help your cause.
This is a tough fight, but it shows the face of Hamas using the Gazans as human shield.
Hamas released two elderly hostages overnight. More than 200 people are still being held captive. Here at home, some potential trouble for former President Trump. CBS's Wendy Gillette tells us his former campaign attorney, who pleaded guilty in his RICO case in Georgia.
I look back on this whole experience with deep remorse.
Former Trump lawyer Jenna Ellis delivered a tearful apology to the court as she pleaded guilty to a felony charge related to attempts to overturn the former president's 2020 election loss in Georgia.
If I knew then what I know now, I would have declined to represent Donald Trump.
In New York, former fixer Michael Cohen testified today as a key witness in Trump's civil fraud trial.
This is not about Donald Trump versus Michael Cohen or Michael Cohen versus Donald Trump. This is about accountability, plain and simple.
Meta is now facing a massive class action lawsuit from 41 states and Washington, D.C. The lawsuit claims the social media company is harming young users with addictive features on apps like Instagram. More healthcare workers are getting burned out. Reporter Alexander Tin.
The CDC says that is driving high turnover and mental health issues across the industry. They're calling on healthcare employers to take immediate action to address the causes of health worker burnout. For example, more than 1 in 10 now say they are facing harassment from coworkers or patients.
Soil and rock samples from the moon are answering some age-old questions.
Scientists now say the moon is about 40 million years older than previously thought, forming nearly 5 billion years ago.
That's CBS's Jim Krasula, and the samples were collected during an Apollo mission back in the 70s. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Jim Gaffigan here.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call visited Altoona on Monday to raise awareness about National Drug Takeback Day on Saturday. Attorney General Call stressed warnings about how painkiller usage can lead to other forms of substance abuse. He also advocated for ways to dispose of medication safely to protect people suffering from a substance abuse disorder. Eau Claire area residents will be able to return unwanted medication at the Marshfield Medical Center from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. Two people were killed and six others were injured in a seven-vehicle crash in western Wisconsin on Monday. The crash occurred around 5:30 p.m. on I-94 in St. Croix County near mile marker 28 in the village of Wilson. Video of the crash shows a semi-truck behind burning wreckage, and the crash led to the Highway 128 overpass being closed so authorities could determine if there was any structural damage caused by the fiery wreck. Authorities say more information will be released Tuesday morning. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. It doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoon.
afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the...
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you go history. We're going to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct. Well, there is a resolution that's apparently been introduced in the Wisconsin legislature by two Democrats that's very disappointing. I want to talk about it and talk about the direction of some of those in the Democratic Party, as well as some of those in the Republican Party, and how it is wrong. The two legislators, Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee and Assemblymember Francesca Hong of Madison, apparently put in a resolution that, among other things, has said that they, quote, urge the end of the, quote, longtime occupation of Palestinian territories in order to ensure safety and self-determination of Palestinians and Israelis. Now, let's talk about what that really means, and let's talk about the history of it. The Palestinian territories where Palestinians live, Palestinians are good people. I know many Palestinians, they're excellent people. They certainly deserve their own state. We're talking about the West Bank and Gaza. The West Bank, some Israelis refer to as Judea and Samaria, but let's just call it the West Bank for now. Israel offered to have the Palestinians set up their own state in their territories about three times, maybe more, but I remember three. The most recently is when Bill Clinton, Yasser Arafat, representing the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, or the Palestinian Authority, it's called now, and Ehud Barak, one of the most decorated, he was a prime minister of Israel, but he was also one of the most decorated combat soldiers in Israeli history. They all met at Camp David. And they set out an agreement in principle on peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians and the setting up of the two-state solution. Palestinians would have a state. Israel would have a state. In fact, Joe Biden supports a two-state solution. I support a two-state solution. Most people I know do. Why didn't it come about? It did not come about because the Palestinians, under Yasser Arafat refused to agree to recognize Israel's right to exist. Now, remember something. Israel is a very small country. At its widest, it's 86 miles. You want to go 86 miles in Wisconsin? Get in a car in Milwaukee, drive to Madison, then drive another 11 miles west. At its narrowest, it is 9 miles wide. You want 9 miles in Wisconsin? Get in a car in downtown Milwaukee and drive up to Brown Deer Road. They can't have a state right next to them who won't recognize their right to exist. Hamas never recognized their right to exist. Hamas's charter calls for the destruction of Israel and the killing of every Jew in Israel. That's what charter is. And they were voted on into power by the people in Gaza. Now, in my judgment, they're not representative of the Palestinians. I don't think the Palestinians in the West Bank like them necessarily. Won't have them. They do sneak into the West Bank from time to time. But to have two members of the legislature in Wisconsin introduce this resolution, severely undercutting Israel's really right to exist, because what they're advocating is the unilateral surrender of those territories to people, many of them who are dedicated to the eradication of the state of Israel. They're not alone in this kind of thing. I told you in a previous segment about three members of the assembly from Wisconsin, all Milwaukee County, Ryan Clancy on the east side, and Sherwood Darren Madison, and Lakeisha Meyer, the northwest side, who all abstained and refused to condemn the savage torture by Gaza, by Hamas, of Israelis that happened on October 6th. Two of them, Darren Madison and Clancy, are members of the Democratic Socialists of America, which is not a Democratic party. The Democratic was essentially taken by them. We don't ratify their use of it. What is going on? And I see the lines are alive. I'm going to go to the lines in a second. When I started in politics in Wisconsin, the Democratic Party, we were considered the party of Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, and John F. Kennedy. We had giants in our party. We had Bill Proxmire, Les Aspin, Henry Royce, Clem Zablocki, Pat Lucy. What happened? How do we go from that to this? If Hong and Larson insist on a vote on this thing, the Republicans will love it. They'll all vote against it. It'll trap the Democrats. Some will vote against it. Some like Clancy, Darren Madison, Lakeisha Myers may vote for it. I don't know. I haven't talked to them. I don't know how they'll vote. But this is toxic. The Democrats have a very good chance of doing well in 2024. But it's more than just political good chances. It's morality. This is wrong. Very, very wrong. And I am disgusted with people in the Democratic Party who say they're in the Democratic Party acting like this and betraying our ally, Israel. Now, the truth is that the worst of this kind of stuff is happening in the Republican Party. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar, Tommy Tuberville, these kinds of people. For us to somehow be associated with people like Hong, Larson, Clancy, Madison, and Lakeisha Myers is wrong. We're going to the lines. Karina Milwaukee, my friend, thanks for calling. Karina, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. I have a question. And obviously, most likely, I don't have a correct information because I have a the propaganda and explanation of how it works from basically a Russian side of the deal. So in Russia, we always heard that Hamas is an organization what was created by United States and against the Palestine movement. And honestly, I never could understand what went wrong. If you can kind of shine a light on it, I would appreciate.
All right, Corina, thank you. And for everybody's edification, one of the things I love about this show is we get tons of callers. I love them. They're really great. Corina shared with us in a prior call that she is from Moscow, Russia, and lives in the United States right now. So we're very happy to welcome her here. And I don't presume to want to instruct her on Russian history. But from the 10th century on in Russia, Russia in the 900s was a forest inhabited by wolves, whereas Ukraine had been a thriving civilization for 200 years before that. Up until the 19th century, Russia had a system of what's called serfdom. In other words, you could essentially own somebody, and it wasn't racial like it was with us with African-American slavery, which is disgusting. But you might take a look at your next door neighbor right now and you say, well, if he could have been my serf and I could have bossed him around. Tsar Alexander in the late 19th century freed the serfs. And he freed the serfs not because he had a great heart, but it's because he lost the Crimean War and he was afraid that the serfs would rise up against him. Russia accomplished great things intellectually in the 19th century. Great things in music with Tchaikovsky. Great literature, Pushkin, Dostoevsky, have admiration for that culture. But then what happened right after the First World War, they killed the Romanovs, their czar, their last czar, and Lenin and then Stalin came in, and they've had a reign of terror for 100 years. There was a 10-year vacation from it. In the 1990s, Gorbachev and Yeltsin tried to get Russia back into democracy and it failed. It's very hard to do it in a country when you have 1,000 years of no respect for the private ownership of property by most people. So when Corina asked me something like that, does it surprise me that Putin and surprise me that the Russian communists before Putin lied and said that Hamas was created by the United States? It doesn't surprise me. But I think a moment's thought, a moment's reading of the free press would show that that was obviously false. It was propaganda that they were shoving down their people's throats. So that's my response, Corina. Thank you. And I will say a couple of other things. What Putin is doing right now in Ukraine is beyond savage and barbaric. There is a two-place system of blame assignment, of morality. Everybody expects the West to be absolutely of the highest probity. And that's right, they should. But a lot of people look on other countries and think, well, we expect some savagery. We expect torture. And that is why people place Israel at a higher standard than Hamas, whereas Hamas are torturers, savages, and have to be exterminated. Russia puzzles me because Russia is very much in the Judeo-Christian tradition. You know, it's Eastern Orthodox. So is Serbia. So is Poland. And yet they emulate under Putin, and they did certainly under Stalin and Russian communism, the tactics of a third world. And that is a terrible thing. And I look for the day when Russia restores itself to the greatness of the 19th century and to operate like a civilized country. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long.
Bug Tussle, providing high speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877 227 0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877 227 0924.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique.
And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today, and one or two of those storms could produce some large hail at times. Our high 66, the wind southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, more rain and thunderstorms. Could be heavy rain with a half inch to an inch or more. Our low 54 tomorrow. Cloudy showers, high of 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines, and I can get you all in if you try to keep your comments to maybe 2 minutes. Dave of Madison, my friend, you're first. What's on your mind today, Dave?
This is Jesse from Madison.
Okay, that's okay. Hello? I don't mean to.
Okay. Sorry.
It says Dave.
No worries. So I guess I have two quick points to make. One is that, you know, we spoke a while about the Ukraine and Russia situation, and you will find no more strident supporter of Ukraine's right to defend itself and supporting giving them every tools and weapons they need to do so. But at the time, this was maybe a month or two ago, you had said that the entire Russian society was craven and violent and irredeemable. I'm paraphrasing slightly, but those are pretty spot on. And I said, though, no, nope,
and your point is
monolithic. Yeah. Well, the point is you just said that because they're of a Judeo-Christian history, that it was surprising to you that they could be so craven and violent. And it doesn't, if you don't know history, then you of course would come to that conclusion, because there are plenty of Christian nations over the history that centuries that have been craven and violent and barbaric and violent and torturous. So
think about this though. Is there anywhere you would rather live than Europe or the United States? You'd be out of your mind to live anywhere else. So yes, there's been a terrible history on the part of many nations I'm talking about right now. Thanks a lot for calling. I really appreciate it. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Matt. I'll make this quick. What's going on in the Congress right now is really getting trouble. So anybody that voted that the election wasn't a fraud can't become speaker. So that narrows it down. And I don't, this whole thing has become a cult following of Trump, and I'm beside myself. I'm just happy that Biden's the president, and this time with all that's going on, somewhere along the line, the House has to come to a census and elect somebody that as speaker. Or the party still is controlled by Trump. It's totally controlled by Trump.
Right. Yeah. No, thanks for the call. You're making a great point. We hit this really hard in the first hour, but I want to just, Tom Emmer has been nominated. He is a guy who did vote to certify Biden. He's a moderate guy. He voted to fund the government, to increase the debt limit, to several other things, and then fund it at the 45 days. And I think he will vote aid to Israel, aid to Ukraine. And he voted to codify the right to same-sex marriage in case the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court go the other way. So he's being hit by his people. So I said in the first hour, and I'll just say it again now, that however many votes he gets, he's not going to get 217, I don't think. But let's say he gets 200. I think Hakeem Jeffries, just they talk, and we give him 17 Democratic votes, Democrats in safe seats that aren't going to be hit by people in a primary, and put him in. We got to do something. On the 17th of November, on the 18th, the day after, our troops aren't going to get paid, and we're sending them into combat, possibly, in the Eastern Mediterranean. This has got to stop. Paul, thanks a lot for calling. Keith in Middleton, my friend, thank you for calling. What's your mind today, Keith?
Good afternoon. A couple quick things. Yes, I agree with you. Hakeem needs to get 17 or 20 Democrats together and vote for him, or just to get, they need to be the adults in the room if nobody else can be. And then back to the other conversation regarding religion, Christianity, Russia, et cetera, et cetera. I'm the son of a Lutheran minister, and in my opinion, there's no force on earth more evil than religion. It is the most divisive. More people have died in the name of religion than anything else in this world. There was a statement, I don't know if you know, read the Dan Brown books, but a great statement in there. As long as there's been one true God that's been killing in his name, and it will continue forever, whether it's Muhammad or Buddha or Christ or God, whoever you want to worship, that is the most divisive factor in our world. And I don't know how to fix it, but it is what it is.
That's an excellent statement. And I believe very strongly in the separation of church and state. And frankly, the prohibition against the establishment of religion, I think it was the most profound insight of political philosophy that's ever been made. And our founding fathers did it in the First Amendment. That said, I'm going to tell you something, and please keep this in mind. You may have known that I've written a number of books. I published a book in August, so it's 2 months old, called Confessions of a Church Lawyer in Defense of Christianity. Confessions of a Church Lawyer in Defense of Christianity. And unlike everything that's been written about it before, I don't approach it from sort of a mystical, faith-based perspective. I approach it from pure reason. I think you will enjoy it. You can get it anywhere. Get it on Amazon. Matthew Flynn, Confessions of a Church Lawyer in Defense of Christianity. And I know exactly what you're saying. H.L. Mencken, the great satirist, once published a list that's 2 pages long of every religion in history going back 5,000 years that killed other people believing that their religion was the one true religion. So you're right. You mentioned 3 or 4. This is a 2-page list going back 5,000 years. I could not agree more. That said, it's a much more profound issue than most people realize. This is a political call-in show. This is not a theology call-in show. But if you want my thinking on it, because in 2 hours it's impossible to get through every issue, you might really enjoy Confessions of a Church Lawyer in Defense of Christianity. But I respect what you said. I respect your father's avocation. And I think it's something that we'll talk about in the future. But for right now, we're going to a break. I see everybody else on the line. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. 95. I'm kind of wondering if man is going to be alive. He's taken everything this old earth can give. And he ain't put back nothing, whoa, whoa. Now it's been 10,000 years. Man has cried 1 billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through.
CBS News Brief. Hope from House Republicans on Capitol Hill.
You believe the nominee today could be the speaker by later today?
That's correct.
That's Tennessee's Tim Burchett talking about Minnesota's Tom Emmer. He's the third candidate now to go for the gavel since the GOP booted Kevin McCarthy, but it's still unclear whether Emmer has enough support. Former Trump attorney Jenna Ellis pleaded guilty to elections interference charges today in Georgia. Assistant DA Daisha Young listed conditions of her plea deal.
You must continue to fully cooperate with prosecutors, included but not limited to participating in interviews with prosecutors, appearing for evidentiary hearings, and assisting in pretrial matters.
The U.S. is efforting an enduring political solution in the Middle East. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
The only road to lasting peace and security in the region, the only way to break out of this horrific cycle of violence, is through two states for two peoples.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. In a press release, the YMCA of the Chippewa Valley has announced it will acquire Eau Claire Fitness in January 2024. Eau Claire Fitness will be converted to the Eau Claire South YMCA, making it the third full-service facility for the YMCA of the Chippewa Valley. The new site will offer fitness equipment, group exercise classes, water fitness, pickleball, and more. The president and CEO of the YMCA of the Chippewa Valley also thanked the owners of Eau Claire Fitness for their work in the process. Republican lawmakers have advanced a number of constitutional amendments debated Tuesday in the Wisconsin State Legislature. One of the amendments would enshrine existing voter photo ID requirements in the state constitution, and changes made to the state constitution must be passed in two consecutive sessions before it goes to the voters in a statewide election. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has previously vetoed bills to the same effect, but he has no power to veto a constitutional amendment. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Hi, this is Dr. Brad Schaefer. As a podiatrist, I can tell you no two people's feet are alike, which is why I recommend Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotic Inserts. They're customized for your feet, so you get a unique solution your feet really need, not just a one-size-fits-all insole. They're clinically proven to provide pain relief for achy feet, knees, lower back, plantar fasciitis, and heels. Take the Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotics Assessment in Walmart today, now in the foot care aisle.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. Our website.
Good morning, Captain. Well, good morning to you.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go to the lines in order. Do not hang up. I'm going to take you in order. John of Boaz, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind at John of Boaz?
Hi, Matt. I'd like to ask you some economic questions about the Wisconsin government. Now, it turns out that Joe Biden released all kinds of money, like $4 billion, to the state of Wisconsin to help it recover with the COVID. But now, Matt, how come they have that money and they're not talking about how much interest it's earning? That's $200 million interest at 5%. They're not talking about it.
Right. Here's the deal on that. Very good question. I'll do this quickly and go to the next caller. There was a lot of COVID money. We have a large, large surplus. Evers has been prevented by the legislature from using it for some things it should be used for. Under the law, that money has to be securely invested. They can't go out and put it in the stock market. When you say 5%, I mean, that's an amazingly high interest rate. You're not far off in the sense that some CDs now are paying that. But in the past, it would have been 1% or 0.5% or whatever. But it's not being just put in an account at no interest. But when you say they don't talk about it, they do talk about the surplus. And the surplus has a modest amount of increase for interest. And then some of it gets spent. But some of it is blocked by the Wisconsin legislature. Thanks an awful lot, John. I appreciate it. Jack of Racine, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Jack?
Hello. I'm just Jack. Wondering what your take is on the Republicans in Wisconsin. I have been following them. As far as I can tell, there's only two, Fitzgerald and Tiffany, voted not to certify Biden as president. But you got Ron Johnson out there and all these other legislators, and you know, including Style from my area, and they seem to be always go far right wing. Like something's pushing them somehow, something's pushing them that direction. I'm just wondering who in Wisconsin did Robin Voss, Ron Johnson, what happened?
Well, here's the deal. Tiffany and Fitzgerald are the worst, in my opinion, but the others are chicken. I mean, they all voted. Six of them voted for Jim Jordan. And I've talked about the Republicans all the time. I think because they're gerrymandered and because they're frightened, they haven't done anything. I appreciate the call. Somebody just slipped me a note. I don't know if this is true. So Anya, you may want to look at this. But it says that Emmer has now dropped out of the speaker race, which he just nominated. So we're going to look that up. We only have another half hour on the show. And I wanted to get to you right away. It's a credible source that came to me. If that's true, the only reason it would have happened is if there were a number of people, Republicans, who said they'd never vote for him and Emmer didn't want to have to go to Democrats. If that is true, however, we're in a very sad state because we run out of money on November 17th. So we're going to look at that. It's not verified, but I did just get that note. Okay. Lee of Yuba, my friend, thanks for calling. Lee, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Quickly, you talked about religion a couple of times previously. I talked about history, and I firmly believe this has never been a Christian country. We've got churches within it. We've got people that are Christian, but as far as the way we've treated the Native Americans, the blacks that were brought over as slaves, the Mexicans that, you know, the northern part of Mexico is lopped off, and this was their country, and we took them over and told them to go home. Well, hell, they were home. And one of the things that, you know, I was raised Catholic, and the Monsignor up front would always talk about, you know, got to vote Republican. And my dad was a union member, and he'd go home on the Sunday seething mad about, you know, what was going on. And I think religion has been used too often as a cudgel to get people to vote in a certain way when, in fact, they don't want to. And I think people are being forced today to have to deal with this abortion issue, that is a personal
okay,
issue.
Thank you. Right. No, Lee, thank you very much. And I guess I would just say two things. One is I couldn't agree with you more that people of any religion have at times behaved monstrously to people. In our case, in the United States, to African-American people who were enslaved, to Native American people, to Mexicans, and a number of other people. No question about that. I discuss that very issue in my book that just came out, Confessions of a Church Lawyer in Defense of Christianity. I hear exactly what you're saying, but there are much deeper issues involved in this, and they're very difficult to get on the air in 2 hours, especially in what's really a political talk show. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to move on. But I would strongly encourage you to get that book. And I think you will find things in it. In fact, I'll guarantee that everybody here will find things in that book that you did not know. So thank you very much. By the way, I've just gotten a message confirmation, it looks like, that Emmer has dropped out. Now, I'm going to have to look at that more for tomorrow's show. But for God's sake, he just won the nomination. He won the nomination. The idiot. The idiot. And I suspect that the reason he dropped out is because they all knifed him in the caucus and they go, you can't get 217. You may have won here. The hell with you. Something's got to be done. We run out of money on November 17. November 18, starting November 18, privates, corporals, sergeants, chief petty officers, third class, seamen, apprentices ain't getting paid. And they don't have a lot of money. And a lot of them are being ordered into combat. A lot of, because, yeah, here's another confirmation. Just came over. He dropped out because he came clear he couldn't secure 217. That chicken, whatever votes he had. If I went in there and I had 21 votes, I'd go to Hakeem Jeffries and say, give me 200 more. Why don't you ask, you idiot? You idiot. Oh, man, I swear to, this is too much. Too much. So what are they going to do? They can't get 217 unless they appoint a Trump type. But if they appoint a Trump type, they're not going to get 217 either, because there's a lot of people I know in the Republican Party who won't vote for Trump. So what, they're not going to have a speaker? This is what Trump wants. This is chaos. This is what Jordan wants. This is what Paul Gosar wants, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Lauren Boebert, and Tommy Tuberville, and Cruz, and every degenerate and sociopath in the Republican Party wants. This party is a cadaver. It's an absolute cadaver, and the worms are starting to crawl out. This has got to stop. There has got to be a meeting. Hakeem Jeffries has to sit down with one of the moderates and say, look, let's put together, let's put, oh, and now they say, here's another note. Hearn and Johnson are still in the running. Hearn of Oklahoma, Johnson of Louisiana. They're back in. They snuck back in. Hearn voted against certifying Joe Biden. Johnson voted against certifying Joe Biden. In my view, neither one of them is likely to vote for aid to Ukraine. I don't know where they are in Israel. I don't know where they are in shutting down the government. This is a success by Trump in derailing somebody who's very conservative, Emmer, but called a rhino and a moderate, to put in two election deniers to run against each other. How did they get back in? They were beaten. Emmer beat him. Hearn and Johnson should not get a single Democratic vote. I do not want anybody in the speakership who voted against certifying the winner of the presidential election. Hearn and Johnson were beaten by Emmer for a reason. Because a majority of the Republican caucus wanted Emmer. But a minority fueled by Trump, the fascist cult of Trump, destroyer of democracy, they're sneaking back in. And they're trying to bully and browbeat the moderates to vote for election deniers. Stay tuned. I'll continue to look at notes, get you as up to speed as I can in the remainder of this show. And then I'm sure Dom and Crude will have a lot to say in the next show, and we'll have a lot to say tomorrow. Okay, somebody just texted me and said, question from the text line. This individual says, I'm also very bothered by polling stations being in churches, should be in libraries, fire halls, or other government buildings. In general, I agree with that. I think that if those are available, that would be great. I believe in the separation of church and state. I believe there should be no established religion. The church, my polling place where I live in Milwaukee is in a first floor room of St. Mark's Episcopal Church. It works very well. There are not religious symbols all over the place. Nobody gives it a second thought. I think in our society, because we have such tolerance, thank God, and ecumenical tolerance of one another, that it's not a problem in my view, certainly not where I vote. That said, I couldn't agree more that if a library or a fire hall or a government building is available, that should take precedence, but there may not be enough of them. Well, let's turn to Donald Trump. He confronted Michael Cohen today in New York in Letitia James's fraud trial. And apparently he glared at him, threatened him at the end. Believe it or not, he said, quote, "This will not go well." What is this, the mafia? "This will not go well for Michael Cohen." That's an invitation to violence. And he said it to the press right there in the court after the hearing. This is what the guy said. Here is what Cohen said on the stand, which is what got to Trump. Quote, this is Michael Cohen, his fixer, his lawyer. "All his lawyers end up with criminal convictions. Michael Cohen, Jenna Ellis, Ken Chesbro, Sidney Powell." Cohen said, quote, "Trump had had me inflate his assets based on a number he arbitrarily picked." He said that Trump is the top of the conspiracy to defraud banks and insurers about his net worth. And then he said, quote, "My responsibility, along with Alan Weisselberg, was to reverse engineer the value of Trump's organization assets in order to achieve the number that Mr. Trump tasked us to do." Trump would go into their office. Now, listen to something. Michael Cohen is a lawyer, passed a bar exam. He has a fiduciary duty to the public. He has a fiduciary duty to his clients, to the court. Trump goes in. Alan Weisselberg is his chief CFO, the chief financial officer. He says, Mar-a-Lago is worth $250 million, let's say. Trump Tower, my apartment, is worth $35 million. They say, yes, sir. Then they look at the appraisals, which aren't even 10% of that. They look at everything else and they jimmy around. They just type what he said. He was at the trial last week when an appraiser got on. And they said, sir, it says here that you appraised this at this large amount. Is that true? The guy said, no, I never heard about this before in my life. They just put appraisers' names in. They might hire the guy for a small job, get his name, stick it in. This is a fraud. This is a very serious fraud. And this is what happened today. And for the first time, Michael Cohen and Donald Trump had to face each other. And Trump threatens him at the end, saying this will not go well with him. More to come. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in
Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley, 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight, a low in the low 50s. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow, high in the low 60s. More showers into Wednesday night and Thursday with a few rumbles of thunder, high in the mid-60s. Much, much colder for the weekend as highs drop through the 40s, only into the 30s. Right now it's 58.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to take a call from Jean of Eau Claire. Jean, thanks for calling back. What's on your mind today, Jean?
Hi, Matt. I know I shouldn't call in again, but I just had to run this by you because of what Trump did with Michael Cohen. Now, I really would recommend that one of the judges place Donald Trump in a jail cell, maybe one night or two nights, so he can experience sleeping on a bed like normal people sleep in. Might be a little lumpy. He wouldn't have a golden toilet. He'd have to have a toilet that normal people have to sit on or prisoners. In addition to that, put the Secret Service down a few cells so he can't talk to anybody. So he's going to see what life will be without living in his life. I'll bet he has no idea what it's like.
Yeah, Jean, I think it's a great idea. I think you should let Letitia James and Fannie Willis know. I think that's terrific. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling. I want to leave everybody with a really kind of unusual suggestion. And I know my friends over in the 3rd Congressional District are perfectly capable of waging their campaigns. But I had a tip last night that I thought was intriguing. Remember when Derek Van Orden went to Israel and he posted pictures and he was here, there, and the rumor in Washington is that he went, didn't even inform his staff, just flew out, didn't have clearance. He wasn't part of a congressional delegation. The guy just shows up, starts wandering around. But then they said something else. Some of the military vets who looked at it, he was wearing a flak jacket, said, you know, that is not the way a Navy SEAL would wear a flak jacket. And then some said, has anybody checked out whether he ever was in the Navy SEALs? And now maybe he was. He was in the Navy, apparently, and probably a chief petty officer after 20 years. But I'll tell you, The Navy SEALs are sort of the gold standard. When I was in the Navy, I was in Navy OCS training, and they came to in Newport, Rhode Island, and they asked if anybody was interested in being a Navy SEAL. And a couple of guys, one of my good buddies, Bill Schultz from Florida, he was a swimmer for Florida State. He was a heck of a swimmer. He told me what happened was they go down in the pool. The guy says, jump in the pool, swim as fast as you can and as far as you can. And as long as you can. And they just watched him. He swam up a storm. Florida State swimmer got out and he never heard from him again. The people who are in the SEALs are unbelievably fit. They're unbelievable warriors. They do open ocean swimming. They get released from submarines 10 miles offshore and go swimming, you know, the whole bit. Ron DeSantis in his campaign said that he had been assigned with the Navy SEALs in Iraq. It turned out he's a lawyer. He was on a base and there were Navy SEALs there. And I remember when I was first in the Navy, just before we were going to deploy to the Mediterranean, this was not a combat deployment. It was not a big deal. It was to show the flag in the Mediterranean to our NATO allies. They had us all go down to the lawyer's office and they'd say, you're all going to have a will, whether you want one or not. and you line up and they asked you, the only question was, are you married? And if you are, you leave everything to your wife. And if you aren't, you leave it all to your parents. This is a one-page will. We all did it. That's the kind of stuff lawyers do over there. Or if a guy's being sued for a debt, he can put it on hold because he's in the service. So Ron DeSantis is saying, I was stationed with Navy SEALs. That's technically true, but he saw them each for about 2 minutes and never did anything with them. What I am simply saying, it may very well be that Van Orden was in the Navy SEALs. And if he is, I respect his service. I don't respect the fact that he uses the F-bomb with teenage interns, or that he brings a gun in the airport, or that he uses the F-bomb in berating people who are giving him classified briefings. But I would be curious in knowing what he meant by that, where he was stationed, when he said he was in them or with them, what does that mean? And that is something I think we take for granted, but this is not coming from me. This is coming from some veterans. My source told me, and of course it's hearsay. I want to make that very, very clear. But I think that some opposition research on Van Orden should go a little deeper than it has. First of all, why did he go to Israel? To get publicity. My own suspicion is because he'd voted for Jim Jordan 3 times. It didn't work. And he knew very well that what he was doing out there was not agreeable to the people in the 3rd Congressional District. The business about how he wore his flak jacket, I don't know. I saw pictures of him. I just saw his face. I didn't see his flak jacket. Vets said a Navy SEAL wouldn't have worn it that way. I don't know. All I am saying is that we are mounting a campaign for Congress against Derek Van Orden, who has done nothing in Congress and has embarrassed his district. That is sufficient, regardless of what else he accomplished or didn't accomplish. But I simply raise the issue for opposition research in the 3rd Congressional District. Under what circumstances did he go to Israel? Why did he go to Israel? Why is he walking around a airport over there with a flak jacket? How did he wear the flak jacket? It's fine. But take a good look at his record for 26 years. Where was he posted? Why are there not Navy SEALs coming to campaign for him? Who said, this is our buddy, you know, we did this and that together. I think it is worth taking a look at. And I also think it's worth taking a look at making sure that no other members of the Wisconsin Assembly or State Senate vote for anything close to this Hong and Larson resolution that they put in about further constricting Israel. Well, we're coming to a end of the show. This is a great show. There were some very, very great calls. Matt Flynn Direct is going to be back same time, same place tomorrow. And I'm signing off for today.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride
Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.